The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everyone. Good day, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, January 14th, 2013. And it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We are starting out a great week here at Rolla J Studios. Looking forward to all the stories we're going to be covering on today's show, including a look at one of President Obama's bigger fish to fry. You might have remembered his interview with Barbara Walters, where he said that the federal prosecutors had bigger fish to fry than to go after medical marijuana people. We're going to take a look at one of those bigger fish in today's Radical Rant, so make sure you stick around for that. But mostly, I'm excited about today's guest. At half past the hour, we are joined by one of the first people to have ever legalized marijuana in the United States. Mason Tevert will be joining us, the campaign director from Amendment 64, the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. He's been doing it for 8-9 years now. The man's a true professional. He'll be on to talk about what's next for him now that he's working with Marijuana Policy Project. And I might ask him a couple questions about Project Sam I Am, you know, the thing there from Kevin Sabet, the prehab policy organization. And speaking of Sam I Am, we're going to go behind the headlines today, take a look at the unveiling of Project Sam I Am in Denver last Thursday, and how they're looking to set up local branches in every state, starting with Colorado. I'll show you how foolish that is, and I'm going to give you a sneak peek at the new satirical website we'll be unveiling soon, smartapproaches.com. You'll be the first to see it. It's not available on the internet anywhere, but right here at the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Of course, today is Roots Monday for our Daily Toker Tunes. Now, tonight on the new Viper Hour at 8 o'clock Pacific, I'll be playing all sorts of great reefer jazz and probably a lot of blues, considering how the NFL tournament turned out this weekend. But anyway, today we're going to do a little something different on Roots Monday. We're actually going to be playing a parody video, since I'm going to be talking about a parody website. Why not play a parody video? A parody of Macklemore's Thrift Shop, done by our friend Steve Burke. You might remember him from Should Be Legalized video we played a year or two ago. He's got a new one out called Pot Shop. We'll show that to you in our Daily Toker Tunes. But first, we got our headlines to get to. You remember that study on marijuana and IQ? We got some news on that. We got a poll out of Arizona on marijuana legalization. A new group in Georgia setting to educate lawmakers on marijuana reform. A look at the federal food stamp ban for marijuana felons and hemp legalization in the Washington Post. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I California is the center of marijuana consciousness. That's why High Times Magazine is returning to the Golden State for our second High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles. That's right. Come to LA Center Studios on February 16th and 17th for this high-flying event. Meet the medical cannabis industry, visit our extra special medicating area, and sample the best cannabis products of Southern California. There'll be cultivation seminars and presentations about getting pot legalized, not just in California, but everywhere. Be there on Saturday evening when we host a Rock'em Sock'em concert with surprise musical guests. And don't forget Sunday night and the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards when we honor the best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrate, and best edibles of the LA medical cannabis scene. Plus, we present the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award to marijuana superstar Tommy Chong. Come to the City of the Angels on February 16th and 17th for a High Times cannabis celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Live the high life. Be proud of who you are. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
The children!
My God! Won't somebody think of the children?
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News. I'm Russ Belville. Study linking marijuana smoking to IQ declines may be blaming the wrong culprit, analysis says. This from the Washington Post. A new analysis is challenging a report that suggests regular marijuana smoking during the teen years can lead to a long-term drop in IQ. The author of the new paper says pot might not have anything to do with the mental decline seen in the original study, and that other factors may be to blame. The new analysis, published online Monday by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, says the IQ trend might have emerged from differences among the study participants, such as socioeconomic factors like income, education, and occupation. Drawing on results of earlier research, it traced the potential effects of those socioeconomic factors on IQ and found patterns that look just like what the Duke study found for smoking marijuana. A majority of Arizonans want marijuana regulated like alcohol. This from the Weed Blog. A poll released today, commissioned by the National Cannabis Industry Association and conducted by Public Policy Polling, found that a majority of Arizona residents would vote yes on an initiative to regulate marijuana in a manner similar to alcohol. When asked, quote, "If an initiative appeared on a future ballot in Arizona proposing that marijuana be regulated in a manner similar to alcohol and sold to adults 21 years of age or older in state-licensed stores, would you vote yes in favor of this initiative or no against this initiative?" 59% stated they would vote yes, 40% felt strongly, 19% not so strongly, and only 36% stated they would oppose the measure, 33% strongly, 3% not so strongly. The survey also questioned Arizona voters on their current medical marijuana law and found 59% of respondents support the law and only 37% are opposed. Georgia Marijuana Reform Group sets legislative agenda. This from the Woodstock Patch. A group seeking reform of Georgia's marijuana laws will head to the state capitol today to begin an educational campaign for its legalization, beginning with medical use of the drug. James Bell, director of Georgia Care, said the Marijuana Reform Coalition wants to start a public discussion on the impact marijuana laws have on the criminal justice system and the public. According to their website, gacareproject.com, Georgia Care is a project of the Georgia Taxpayers Alliance. Bell said, with the Georgia General Assembly studying reform of the criminal justice system and criminal sanctions, marijuana law reform should also be considered. Quote, "You cannot talk about reducing the prison population and reforming Georgia's criminal code without considering reforming marijuana laws. We want lawmakers to take a close look at the impact these laws have on our state." Federal food stamp ban results in mother resorting to prostitution. This from the Weed Blog. Dr. Emily Wang, an assistant professor at Yale School of Medicine, recently wrote an article published by Alternate about a young woman who came into her office and told a tragic story of desperation, which resulted from the federal food stamp ban. She stated that, because of a drug felony conviction and her resulting ineligibility for food stamps, she believed she had no alternative other than resorting to prostitution to provide her children with food. This young woman had been released from prison after a conviction for marijuana possession. She had regained custody of her children and enrolled in college. However, like everyone with a criminal conviction record, she had great difficulty finding a job. Dr. Wang wrote, quote, Carla is one of thousands of former convicted drug offenders who suffer because of a passage in the 1996 Welfare Reform Act. The specific passage of the act was implemented to keep drug users from selling their food stamps for drug money. This concern is irrelevant today because food stamp funds are distributed electronically via a debit card that must be used during the checkout at grocery stores. Hemp legalization effort gathers steam, this from the Washington Post. While the United States ranks as the world's leading consumer of hemp products, with total sales of food and body care products exceeding $43 million in 2011, it is the only major industrialized country that bans growing it, even though 11 states have passed measures removing barriers to hemp production and research. 90% of the U.S. supply comes from Canada. Proponents value hemp both for how it grows and for what it can produce. But since the DEA only grants permits in rare instances and demands costly, elaborate security precautions, large-scale hemp growing in the United States is not viable. And that's your 420 Radio News for today, Monday, January 14th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines. Stick around. This is 420radio.org.
Law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long. When you need a break from all that's wrong, you better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back. 13 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And we talked about it on the rant on Friday about smart approaches to marijuana. Learn about SAM.com. And this is, of course, that new third way that wants to paint, you know, the Goldilocks theory here. We're going to paint legalization as too soft. We're going to paint prohibition as too hard. And we'll do the thing that's just right. We'll just force pot smokers into treatment that they neither want nor need. Anyway, this was unveiled on Thursday. I just wanted to give you a report back on this from Huffington Post, reporting on Patrick Kennedy wants to restart Colorado conversation on legal weed. Former Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy's group was officially launched in Denver Thursday. Project SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, opposes legalization, but says it wants to see small-time marijuana users receive education and treatment. A Colorado spinoff will be launched later this month. Board member and co-founder Kevin Sabat Sabet says, Kevin Sabet says the organization has no funding and is run entirely by volunteers. Sabet, a well-known opponent of legalization, is director of the Drug Policy Institute at the University of Florida and has served under both Presidents Obama and George W. Bush as a drug policy advisor. Sabet says he suspects the people of Colorado weren't fully informed when they voted to legalize marijuana this November. Yeah, weren't fully informed. Not like, you know, Safer, and they've had numerous votes on this, and they've had medical marijuana since 2000. Just slipped it under the radar. Nobody noticed that that we were going to legalize marijuana. Anyway, the post continues. I think a lot of people saw it as an either-or situation without realizing there might be something in between incarceration and legalization. In Colorado, Sabet said the organization, to be called Smart Colorado, will be run by Bob Doyle, who is the executive director of the Colorado Tobacco Education and Prevention Alliance. How many people did we arrest or force into rehab for tobacco? Doyle said the group will be formally launched toward the end of January. Smart Colorado aims to start a public conversation about the health consequences of marijuana use, among other things. Doyle said there hadn't really been no such conversation prior to November's vote. It was very one-sided, he says. We really didn't hear any of the reasons not to legalize marijuana, he said, acknowledging that whatever dialogue he wants to start now might have been better started years ago. Yeah, didn't hear any of the reasons not to legalize marijuana. Those ads for years and years and years and years and years from the federal government were never heard by anybody. And all the bleeding of every elected official in Colorado, including the mayor and the, governor for sure, and the sheriffs all talking about it. But nobody ever heard why they shouldn't legalize marijuana. All right. In fact, Smart Colorado was also the name used by legalization opponents prior to November's election. So they even didn't come up with a new name. But I have, of course, you know, I call them Project Sam I Am, Stealth Approaches to Marijuana Incarcerated Americans. And in response to Sam I Am, I went and registered the Twitter handle Smart Approaches. So you can follow at Smart Approaches there on Twitter, and I will be giving you periodic updates from that. But the latest project, and this is our first project from what I am calling the 420 Radio Satire Labs. I'll show you here in just a second, because this is not available up on the internets as it is. But you may remember that Kevin Sabet was spoofed. He was involved with the Massachusetts campaign to try to oppose medical marijuana, you know, that passed by, 63%, 64%, something like that. So he was in that campaign. And it was question three. And he formed this committee, Vote No on Question 3, without getting the website VoteNoOnQuestion3.com. So, having not learned his lesson from that fiasco, I checked to see if smartapproaches.com was registered, and lo and behold, it was not. So, let me switch over to the old video screen here, and for those of you listening on podcast, I'll describe what's going on here, but first I'm going to give you a look at the Smart Approaches, or the Learn About Sam website, which is learnaboutsam.com. This is their website here. Currently, with the grinning face of Kevin Sabet, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. I'll enlarge that just a little bit. So Smart Approaches to Marijuana and the little slideshow going on there with Patrick Kennedy. You know, we cannot promote marijuana system of mental health treatment, marijuana legalization, which increases permissiveness for a drug that directly contributes to mental illness. The unregulated tobacco industry is a worldwide public health disaster. We should learn from our mistakes, not repeat them. With marijuana, a world of legal drugs will be a world in which the fates of the top one-third of Americans and the lower two-thirds will diverge even more than they already do. Children are our most precious resource, yada, 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 yada. So they got their website and, links to various articles and ways that you can support their cause by donating and so forth. Well, you know me, I'm not one to let that go. So the soon-to-be-launched Smart Approaches to Marijuana website, or SAM, you can find you will be able to find this at smartapproaches.com. Smart Approaches, we got our little legal anti-legalization pot leafs there. You can see those. And we'll have a little slideshow as well. A world where legal drugs will be a world where poor white people and minorities will be allowed to use their drug of choice with the same acceptance as my D.C. cocktail circuit friends enjoy their martinis and cigars.
is one. Children are our most precious resource. We should shield them from harm, not expose them to it. The best way we can do that is to make sure the parents and adults in their lives are forced into rehab. Our choices aren't as stark as legalization advocates want us to believe. We can reduce the harms of marijuana prohibition while still punishing pot smokers. And I should know, like Rush Limbaugh, I'm an OxyContin addict. So those are some of the parodies that you will see up at smartapproaches.com. Just as soon as we get all of the rest of the content set, we will let you know. Follow at smartapproaches on Twitter to get all of the information you need. When we have a new page and we're ready to launch, we'll let you know, and we want you to spread it far and wide throughout cyberspace, throughout all your Facebook friends. Let's take these guys down. Because, you know, it's not nice to threaten people with rehab they don't want or need.
Indeed.
Make it available. We'll go get it if we want it. But leave us alone until then.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years, and I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
Funky roller rink.
Ooh, yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Ooh, yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funkylicious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, we are definitely going to take a divergence from our normal Roots Monday diet today because I got a new video in from our friend Steve Burke, who did the Should Be Legalized parody of the Rihanna and Eminem song. That was posted on my old blog at stash.normal.org somewhere. Anyway, Steve is a really interesting character. He's run for mayor of Miami Beach a couple of times, I think. And he's got this new parody video out. He ran for mayor of Miami Beach. He's graduating Yale. And this is a parody of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's catchy tune, Thrift Shop. Now, this, of course, lost on me because you know me. I, other than marijuana, I have no idea what's going on out there. But also receiving shout-outs in this video will be Colorado, Washington, Fritos, Snuggies, Reese's Pieces, and Ben and Jerry's. According to Huffington Post, Burke said that we currently have over 575,000 hits in 4 days. That's a lot of hits. So let's help him out by giving you a little bit of the video. This is the Thrift Shop parody, Pot
Don't
Shop by Steve Burke.
Down.
Puff, 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 $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting.
Welcome to my house, like what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in the Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. Piss. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. I can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed, the people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed,
only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hun, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Is that your grandma's pipe?
Just gonna stand here and watch you blaze. Sour diesel, purple crush, blueberry haze. Just gonna stand here and watch you get high. That's alright, I think it should be legalized. Should be legalized. Mm, yeah.
Down the computer. Down the computer.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
All right, your question will be asked by Bradley Bayou.
Marijuana is by far the most frequently used illegal drug in America. But now voters in two states have supported legalization for recreational use. Is this the right direction for our country?
I think that depends on the situation. I personally know people who have had to go to medical marijuana for their last resort for their health care, and I completely agree with that. However, I do not think it should be used for anything but recreational use in health care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Miss Iowa, Mariah.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Half past the hour here. We're joined by Mason Tvert from the Marijuana Policy Project. Mason, welcome back to the show. So glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
We definitely wanted to have you on the show given the news from last week, and I know I've been following it, and you did a great press conference before it, but the launch of this Project SAM, can you tell us about how your press conference went and what's going on with this SAM thing?
Sure. Well, what I came to find was that the media is somewhat confused by what this organization actually wants, because in one sense it's saying that marijuana prohibition is not a good policy and that we need to change, but at the same time it's also advocating for maintaining marijuana prohibition. So it's a bit confusing, and it's really a dangerous proposal that they're bringing forward, and that they're suggesting we should be forcing adults into treatment simply for possessing marijuana, and I think that the media is a little wary of this at this point in time.
I should hope so, and also underreported in this, I think, is they would absolutely maintain all of the criminal justice penalties for selling, growing, trafficking, and so forth.
Exactly. I mean, this is really an attempt to keep marijuana illegal by playing to the sensibilities of people that now have come to understand that marijuana should be legal. They're talking about how people shouldn't be made criminals, they shouldn't lose their financial aid or their jobs, yet they want to maintain these criminal penalties. And they're also suggesting not only that we start just taking every adult caught with marijuana around the country and subject them to mandatory health screenings and so-called marijuana education classes. This is on par with taking every adult who has a beer after work or a cocktail at a party and saying, you're an addict and you need to have a public health intervention. It's just bad policy.
Well, in a lot of the rhetoric that I hear from Sabet and even people like David Frum and others, they would do that for alcohol, I think, and then they always make the excuse that it's just too culturally ingrained. It's been around for too long. So what is the time requirement now that Colorado's gotten marijuana legalized? How long will it have to be legal for it not to be so forbidden for these people?
That's a good question. It really is just a matter of time. I think that the ideas held by these guys are not popular in the mainstream, and to the extent that they are on their way out here in the very near future. I think that more and more people have come to understand and appreciate the fact that marijuana is actually far less harmful than alcohol, and they, by and large, don't think we should be criminalizing adults for using it and spending our time and our resources worrying about it.
Mason, we've got listeners in our live chat room right now from California that want to know when you're going to take Bill Maher up on his request and move to California and legalize there.
Well, I certainly don't intend on moving, but I look forward to working with folks in California. The Marijuana Policy Project and myself as well look forward to working with activists throughout that state toward a statewide initiative to make marijuana legal and start regulating and treating it like alcohol. So we are certainly starting to talk to a lot of people about that, and we are also following up with Bill Maher to see if he'll stick to his word and help out with this what will be a very, very large effort here over the next few years.
I have to follow up on that with a personal question. What's it like sitting next to Sam Jackson?
It was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. He's a cool cat. He was very cool. Much taller than I expected.
Yeah.
But it was definitely very cool. And what was so interesting was that everyone on the show had an appreciation for the actions that had occurred on Election Day surrounding the issue in some way or another, some more than others. Obviously, Andrew Sullivan and Bill Maher being particularly happy with the outcome. But it was great to be able to be there.
Do you feel like the media now are taking a more serious, less pot pun giggle approach to this issue now that it's been legalized in two states?
Yes, I do, and I think that a lot of people are, including our president, who has been known to give a giggle in response to questions about the issue, and when on Barbara Walters last month provided an actual response that was absent of juvenile comments and chuckles. I think that it's quite clear that this is a major policy issue and it needs to start being taken seriously. And, you know, I think part of it is that the discussion is really shifted in a lot of ways, specifically here in Colorado and in the state of Washington, away from, you know, should marijuana be legal? And it's starting to get more into how is it going to be legal? And the discussion of regulation and taxation and banking and all these other issues that really make it a quite frankly a more dull issue. So when things are a little more boring, then they get taken a little more seriously.
How do you think, if at all, the legalization in Colorado and Washington changes the debate with respect to medical marijuana in some of the states that are more reticent to want to enact these liberal marijuana laws? I mean, they might make the argument that, see, Washington and Colorado started with medical, and now look what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen that type of action occur not just in the states, but also in localities and at the federal level. I mean, we saw Mike Kaufman, a Republican congressman here in Colorado, who had been no friend on this issue and who even came out and said, I voted against this, but I'm going to start working in support of legislation to make sure Colorado can implement this new law. And we've seen legislators in states around the country starting to bring forward bills to regulate marijuana similar to alcohol. We're seeing more medical marijuana bills than ever before. We're seeing them in states like Alabama and Pennsylvania and potentially Texas. I mean, these are, while they may not necessarily pass in the next year or two or even three or four, there's a lot more interest in bringing this forward. It's not seen as such a scary thing anymore. And when they do bring these things forward, I think that these legislators recognize, and I hope that others do, that even if it's not going to pass, by bringing it forward, it is really forcing a discussion, and that discussion is what's going to lead to change.
We're speaking with Mason DeVert from Marijuana Policy Project, also the co-director of the campaign that legalized marijuana in Colorado. And looking down from the top, you know, from a national perspective, we've seen some nice public policy polls come out recently. I believe Hawaii was something like 55%, Arizona today 59% in support of regulating marijuana like alcohol. So where are the legalization efforts going to be focused? What are the next states we can look forward to legalizing marijuana?
Well, I think it goes without saying that California and Oregon in particular are states where we're going to see a lot of movement toward the ballot in 2016. There certainly might be some folks discussing 2014, but quite frankly, I think 2016 with the presidential election is the way to go when it comes to spending all the time and the money to build up, running it in 2014 with the potential of falling just a tad short. It just doesn't make sense. Whereas in 2016, these are sure things. So I think we'll see California and Oregon be the next in 2016 to pass these types of initiatives. It's very possible that we'll see Maine, the state of Maine, where they have a bill in the legislature to make marijuana legal and regulate it like alcohol. Whether that passes in the next few years remains to be seen. If not, there is an initiative process there. And then also in Nevada and in Alaska. Nevada, for example, in 2006, they received 44% on a legalization initiative. Put this in perspective, Colorado only received 41% back in 2006. So it's quite likely that Nevada will have more than enough support in the next few years. So there's a lot happening. There's also a legislative work, Rhode Island, likely presents the best chance for a legislature to pass a bill to tax and regulate marijuana, and there's one that will be moving forward here this year. So lots of stuff happening.
Excellent. Sounds like 2014 is the long range jumper and 2016 is the slam dunk. So sometimes you got to pick your shots, I guess.
That's a great analogy.
Well, that's what I'm here for. another thing I wanted to bring up, you briefly mentioned Rhode Island on the legislative tip there. A lot of states out there, I believe it's like 26 states, don't have the initiative process. So we do need to tackle this in a legislative way. For those states that have the initiative process, how much of the threat of 2016 forces their hand to do something legislatively before then?
That's a very, very good question. And that's something that we actually did here in Colorado when it came to pressuring the legislature. In fact, what happened here was not so much to pressure the legislature to take action on legalization, but actually we brought forward legalization while the legislature was considering medical marijuana regulation. And the idea was to show that, hey, if you don't establish good medical marijuana regulations, we're going to go ahead and just, pass this, and of course we ultimately ended up doing that. But having that initiative possibility is really key, and I think that, for example, in Maine, it definitely lights a fire under the legislature because it says to them, listen, you can have a say in what this law looks like, or you can allow the people to vote on a law that we're going to make. And, for those legislators that might be a little more conservative on certain aspects of the issue, they might recognize that they would prefer to pass it in the legislature as opposed to leaving it up to an initiative. So it's a good question.
And it seems to me like we have to be aware that there's going to be some rear guard actions by people who are opponents of liberalizing marijuana laws. I was speaking to someone in Texas, I believe it was, who was telling me how they have, I think I heard it on Dean Becker's show, as a matter of fact, where they have not just, they don't have the initiative process, but they have a law that says if they ever do get the initiative process, it can't be used for medical marijuana. So aside from weird things like that, or this Project Sam that's popped up, what new opponents are you finding, new techniques from our opponents are you finding now that marijuana has been legalized?
Well, one of the things that we encountered and what was really brought forward in California quite a bit back in 2010 are these arguments about workplace issues, employment issues, as well as the argument that we saw here quite a bit regarding tourism issues. So those really, it's funny. I mean, we've seen an evolution in how our opponents try to prevent reform. They started out by saying it's going to, result in, people getting violent and killing others if they use marijuana. Then it became, you're going to be, becoming an addict or killing yourself. Then it became, you're just going to become a loser and you're not going to be productive in society. And now they're moving to, this is going to hurt employers and this is going to hurt tourism because, what we're seeing is a recognition that marijuana is not a bad thing for adults. And for most adults, it's a relatively benign substance, far safer than alcohol. So they've had to shift in terms of what arguments they're using. And so, we actually, in our initiative, having learned from what happened out in California, we included specific language saying, listen, this does nothing to force the hand of employers on this issue. They can still do whatever they feel is necessary because, quite frankly, I'm confident that employers are going to shift with the times. I mean, I don't think employers want to worry about whether they need to fire otherwise, productive, law-abiding employees just for using marijuana in their spare time and then, rehire and retrain people. It just doesn't make sense. But still, our opponents just like to raise that. They fearmonger. They say, would you want your brain surgeon using marijuana the night before your surgery? So those are the kinds of things we're really seeing.
I'm not worried about my brain surgeon using marijuana the night before my surgery. Okay, one last question, Mason, and we'll wrap it up. In addition to all of the legalization efforts that are going on, there's still a lot of medical marijuana efforts that are going on in all sorts of states. There have been some problems in Vermont getting their dispensary system going. We got a very loyal listener who's in the state of Vermont, and he's just wondering, and I know it's kind of a niche issue, but I'm wondering if you have any updates for us on what's happening with Vermont or any of the MPP efforts there.
Well, you know, I know that there is still some work to be done on the medical marijuana front out there in Vermont. I also know that they're starting to look beyond medical marijuana at the prospect of taxing and regulating marijuana. So I believe there's going to be a bill that will be advanced this year on that subject. It's also very good to know that their governor, Pete Shumlin, was reelected, and he has been a very outspoken supporter of medical marijuana and general marijuana policy reform. So hopefully we will see these types of, you know, these bills pass. Specifically, you know, when it comes to the medical marijuana bill, I quite frankly don't have any details on where things stand with that currently, but we hope to see, you know, this type of measure pass. We want to see dispensaries providing safe access to patients, and we're confident that any bill that does get through that would provide that will be signed by the governor.
And of course, someone in the chat room mentions Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont. He's always been pretty good on the marijuana issue, right?
Yeah, generally. Unfortunately, we don't get to see a whole lot of work going on in the Senate when it comes to marijuana.
Yeah.
but hopefully we'll see a little more. You know, Patrick Leahy, also from Vermont, he has he's the head of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate and has said that he wants to hold hearings on this issue, which would be a very good development. So hopefully we will get to hear from some of these folks.
It sure will be, because when we're talking about it, we are winning. Hey, Mason, I want to thank you for joining us here on the show. And again, thanks for legalizing marijuana. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Mason. When we come back, we are going to have a little time for a radical rant. President Obama says he's got bigger fish to fry. We're going to take a look at one of those big fish and the daughters he might leave behind. Stick around.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Chronic pain. Appetite stimulant. Cannabis, the more it can open your mind. Wake up.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
All right, you may have heard President Obama's interview with Barbara Walters, and in that interview, he said that the U.S. Justice Department, well, they got bigger fish to fry than to go after people that are involved in the medical marijuana industry or people that are the small-scale users and producers of marijuana. They got bigger fish to fry than to go after these people. They got better priorities for our federal prosecutors in these cases. Well, I thought it would be interesting to take a look at one of these bigger fish that are currently being fried. This was written up in the New York Times, by the way, and the story was called "In California, It's U.S. versus State Over Marijuana." And just let me read from this for you. Matthew R. Davies graduated from college with a master's degree in business and a taste for enterprise, working in real estate, restaurants, and mobile home parks before seizing on what he saw as uncharted territory with a vast potential for profits, medical marijuana. He brought graduate-level business skills to a world decidedly operating in the shadows. He hired accountants, compliance lawyers, managers, a staff of 75, and a payroll firm. He paid California sales taxes and filed for state and local business permits. The United States Attorney for the Eastern District of California, Benjamin B. Wagner, a 2009 Obama appointee, wants Mr. Davies to agree to a plea that includes a mandatory minimum of 5 years in prison, calling the case a straightforward prosecution of, quote, one of the most significant commercial marijuana traffickers to be prosecuted in this district, end quote. A big fish, right? Kingpin, major marijuana trafficker. So I thought, you know, to help this story, for those of you who are watching on the video screen, if you could get a look at this menace to society, this major trafficker who's it is so necessary that we put this guy in prison for 5 or 10 or 15 years. There's him with the kind of mo haircut and his lovely wife and their new infant daughter, one of three daughters. He has two older daughters in their, you know, teenage years or tween years, I think, 9 and 12, I think. Anyway, that's the menace to society, the major trafficker, the significant commercial marijuana trafficker. He's age 34. He's the father of two young girls and the new infant. He has no criminal record. He meticulously followed California's law in setting up his business in 2009 that generated $8 million in annual revenues. Ooh, $8 million. He says, quote, we thought this is an industry in its infancy. It's a heavy cash business. It's basically being used by people who use it to cloak illegal activity. Nobody was doing it the right way. We thought we could make this a model of how it should be done, end quote. Elliot R. Peters, one of his lawyers, said, quote, this is not a case of an illicit drug ring under the guise of medical marijuana. Here, marijuana was provided to qualified adult patients with medical recommendations from licensed physicians. Records were kept, proceeds were tracked, payroll and sales taxes were duly paid. But the prosecutor, Mr. Wagner, replied to Mr. Davies' lawyers and disputed the depiction of Mr. Davies as anything other than a major league drug trafficker. That's him on the screen, by the way, the major league drug trafficker with his wife and infant daughter. The U.S. attorney appointed by President Obama said, quote, Mr. Davies was not a seriously ill user of marijuana, nor was he a medical caregiver. He was the major player in a very significant commercial operation that sought to make large profits from the cultivation and sale of marijuana. That's what the letter said. And Mr. Wagner said that prosecuting such people, quote, remains a core priority of the department. Two of Mr. Davies' co-defendants are pleading guilty, agreeing to 5-year mandatory minimum terms to avoid stiffer sentences. Mr. Davies, while saying he did not want to be a martyr, decided to challenge the indictment with a combination of legal and public relations measures, setting up a website devoted to the case. You can see that free, keepmattfree.org if you'd like to help, and hiring Chris Lane, a hard-hitting political consultant and former senior aide in Bill Clinton's White House. Mr. Davies' accountant, David M. Silva, said he set up spreadsheets to keep track of inventories, revenues, and expenses. Quote, I've been a CPA for 30 years. What I saw was a guy who was trying to run an operation in an up-and-up way, end quote. The federal authorities said they stumbled across the operation after two men were spotted apparently breaking in to Mr. Davies' 30,000-square-foot Stockton warehouse. So, of course, we go after the owner of the warehouse, not the criminals. The police said they smelled marijuana plants. Federal agents conducted a raid and confiscated 1,962 plants and 200 pounds of marijuana. Mr. Davies is free on $100,000 bail. refers to marijuana as medicine and himself as a turnaround expert. We were basically pharmacists for medical marijuana. Everything was in full compliance with state law, he said. We paid our employees. We paid overtime. We had people going for unemployment if we fired them. Why are they coming after me? He asked. If they have such a problem with California, why can't they sue California? It's mind-boggling that there were hundreds of, or end quote, sorry. And then William J. Portnova, former federal drug prosecutor and lawyer for one of Mr. Davies' co-defendants, said, quote, it's mind-boggling that there were hundreds of attorneys advising their clients that it was okay to do this, only to be bushwhacked by a federal system that most people in California are not even paying attention to. It's tragic, end quote. But to finish this up, and to go back to our picture of the Davies here, Mrs. Davies has decided to write a letter to President Obama. So I would like to read to you from that letter from Mrs. Davies, holding her baby there. This is up at Huffington Post. You can read it as well. It's called Molly Davies, A Letter to President Obama. I am writing to you as a wife and mother of two young daughters whose 34-year-old husband, Matthew Davies, faces 10 years or more in federal prison for providing medical marijuana to sick people in California, even though he complied with state law concerning medicinal cannabis. My questions to you are simple. What has my husband done that would justify the federal government forcing my young daughters to grow up without a father? How can your administration ignore the will of the California people and prosecute this good, law-abiding man for doing exactly what state law permits? Mr. President, my husband is not a criminal and shouldn't be treated like one. Matt is not a drug dealer or trafficker. He's not driving around in a fancy car and living in some plush mansion, trust me. My husband's a regular guy and we're a regular middle-class family. Yet even though Matt took great pains to follow state and local law, he is currently facing a severe prison sentence. This all seems so surreal. Last month, you told Barbara Walters that federal law enforcement authorities would not go after people in Colorado and Washington for marijuana-related crimes because it makes no sense for the government to, quote, focus on recreational drug users in a state that has already said that under state law that's legal, end quote. You said that the federal government has, quote, bigger fish to fry, end quote. If that's true, why are federal prosecutors in Sacramento threatening my husband Matt with 10 years to life in federal prison for providing medical marijuana to California patients who are legally allowed to possess and use it? Matt did nothing illegal under our state and local laws. He has no criminal record. He's a hardworking family man and a loving, kind husband and father. We are confused and absolutely terrified. I remember when Matt first told me about his hopes of providing medical cannabis to patients. At first, I thought he was crazy. But we talked about how his grandfather wasted away from cancer and was in so much pain at the end of his life, and how medical marijuana could have helped him. We also talked about how it's perfectly legal in California to use marijuana for medicinal purposes and to provide it to people who have been legally prescribed the medication. Matt explained to me how he wanted to do things right, to pay taxes, to provide good jobs, and to reduce the price of medicine for patients. But I was still worried. Even though California has legalized medical marijuana, I was afraid that the federal government could still come after him. Matt had thought this through as well. He showed me an official memo from your Department of Justice saying that the federal government has no interest in prosecuting folks for using and providing medical marijuana so long as they comply with their state's laws. Just like you told Barbara Walters last month, the federal government, it seemed to us, had bigger fish to fry. So Matt moved forward with his plans to protect his family. Matt spent thousands of dollars on lawyers who would ensure that he complied with every part of the state law. Mr. President, I ask you, I beg of you, to convey the position you took on national television last month to your local law enforcement agents. Or even better, come to Stockton, California, and see for yourself. Sit down with Matt and hear our story. My husband is not the bigger fish to fry. Please drop this case and put an end to our family's nightmare. Yours with hope and sincerity, Molly Davies. This is why we're here every day, every weekday, putting out 2 hours of education for you, continuing to stand up and expose the lies and the hypocrisy and the cruelty and the injustice of the war on drugs, of people like Kevin Sabet and David Frum, who look down their noses at people who smoke marijuana and say such things as, you know, there's not that many people in prison for marijuana, not just for possession. Oh, no. This war on drugs really doesn't hurt anybody except the people who really deserve to be hurt. You know, like Matthew Davies and his wife and two children that'll have to grow up without their dad if your prosecution goes forward. I encourage everyone out there to please get on the internet. You're on there now listening to me. And go to keepmattfree.org. Keepmattfree.org to support Matthew R. Davies in this fight. He's not taking the plea. He's fighting this injustice. He's calling on President Obama to make good on his promises that he's got bigger fish to fry, that there are other things for federal prosecutors to go after. There's still terrorism and crime. There are Wall Street crooks getting away with billions, and you're worried about Matthew R. Davies? It's all the time we've got here for Hour 1, but we'll continue this in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where you can be part of the voice of the Marijuana Nation at 971-533-7111. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.